In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the last few years, I have refrained from giving up something as a Lenten discipline. You know, something like chocolate or Chardonnay or carbohydrates, any of those other niceties, delicious niceties that give us great pleasure and offer comfort in times of stress and challenge. Rather than give up something during these brief 40 days, I have committed myself to a discipline of identifying ways of thinking and ways of being that have led or are leading me into darkness, away from light, away from God. My Lenten discipline has been grounded in an intentional and continual reflective and prayerful examination of my life's past and present current events, a frequently painful journey of seeking God's light to illuminate areas of darkness in my life, darkness that creates a barrier between me and my God. Put simply, through prayer, reflection, spiritual guidance, I have asked God to shed light on ways of thinking and ways of being that have either carried or are carrying me down a road away from God, a road that leads to the pit filled with serpents, so terrifyingly described in our reading from the book of Numbers. In my conversations with God, I have asked God to give me new lenses through which I can take a good look at myself. This Lenten discipline of mine has always been a very big challenge, and most assuredly, a transforming struggle. I am always astounded at what I uncover, or perhaps I should say what God helps me to uncover. I always discover that quite literally, I was completely in the dark about many aspects of my life. Usually, God's light does not immediately penetrate my darkness. I suppose that would be too simple. No, at first, the light flickers on, and I quickly flick it off. But that darn light is so persistent, crafty and persistent. Gradually, the light seeps through the cracks of my darkness. Soon, the darkness is not so dark. There seems to be no clear boundary between the darkness and the light. And then suddenly, there is no darkness at all. The light shines continually, and my new lenses are polished and working. Perhaps most importantly of all, my new way of being infuses me anew with the wonder and of the depth of God's love, the strength and the power of God's love. And my new way of being allows me to offer that love to others, allows me to bring the gift of God's love to those who are still in darkness. Then, of course, comes the struggle, as we all know, of staying in the light, of not returning to the darkness, the pit. This week's lectionary readings are one of the few occasions in which all of the appointed passages in Scripture, including the Psalm, come together to form a powerful, painful, and yet love-filled message for those of us engaged in a Lenten journey of reflection and repentance. First, we hear an Old Testament story filled with vivid and frightening imagery of poisonous serpents biting people, killing people, punishing people for their complaining and their whining, for their looking away from God to find an easier, more convenient way to live their lives. And then, unexpectedly, this terrifying account of writhing, venom-spitting serpents ends by becoming not a story about pain, suffering, and death, but a story filled with the hope of salvation. In today's passage from Numbers, God sent poisonous serpents into the Israel camp as punishment for the people complaining against Moses and God. Through this frightening siege of venomous serpents, the Israelites recognized that they were being punished. They were being punished by God for falling away from God, the God who had promised them salvation from slavery and suffering. In haste, as soon as they realized this, they went to Moses and repented, saying, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you." As they began their cry of repentance, God commanded Moses to make a poisonous serpent out of bronze and to lift it up high on a pole, high up, so that anyone bitten by one of the serpents could look up at it and live. The Israelites, grateful for this life-saving serpent lifted on high, said it was not the sight of the serpent that saved their lives, but that looking up to it, they looked up to God as the Lord who would heal them. They renewed their promise to follow God. Psalm 107 opens with the powerful verse, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." A hymn extolling God's mercy to those who were fools and took rebellious ways, but also who cried out to the Lord in their trouble. God sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from the grave. Yet another version of people lost in darkness, crying out to God for light, for salvation. And as always, always, God there, right there, ever present, ever loving. Fast forwarding to today's gospel reading from John, Jesus, almost 500 years later, tells his disciples and the surrounding crowd, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The term "lift up" here, translated from the Greek hupso, can also mean exalt. And John uses that double meaning to communicate the theological paradox of this story, in which Jesus is both physically lifted up onto the cross as punishment and at the same time lifted up onto the cross in exaltation by God. For anyone in first century Palestine, Jesus included, being nailed to a cross and then lifted up for public display was a moment of profound humiliation and defeat. But John describes Jesus' crucifixion differently. He collapses it into a single measure of divine action. Jesus crucified by taking on man's sins. Jesus exalted as man's savior. Just as the Israelites were required to look up at the very thing that brought death in order to receive life, the bronze asp lifted on high by Moses, so we are asked to look upon Jesus lifted up on the cross in humiliation in order to understand the concept of Jesus taking on man's sins and offering salvation to those who follow him. Follow him to the cross and beyond, always looking up, always looking for the light of Christ. In John's passage, Jesus continues, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Beautiful and comforting words. But in this context of serpents and crucifixion crosses, how are we to interpret them? How does a loving God act out of such anger and cause so much pain? If God loves us so much, why should we struggle? Why should we suffer? If we listen carefully, we hear Jesus say, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And people who love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." God's grace has no meaning in isolation from God's judgment. If we believe that we have no sin, we have no need for forgiveness. If there's no judgment, we require no grace. The question for all of us is quite clear, I believe. During our Lenten journey, do we have the courage, the discipline, the insight to look up and to allow the light of Christ to shine on the darkness in our lives and in the world around us? Do we dare to have a look at our own lives, our own ways of thinking, and our own behaviors, so frequently, at least in me, less than admirable? Our own thoughts and behaviors that with regularity are in direct conflict with the great commandments that we affirm each Sunday in Lent. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Do we have the courage to change our ways of being, our behaviors, to cease thoughts and actions that trigger the arrival in our lives of venomous serpents, and to look up to Christ lifted high on the cross for a better way, a way filled with the light of Christ? Do we have the courage to repent and return? Can we find the humility and bravery necessary to repair relationships gone awry and deeds left undone out of fear and apathy? Are we daring enough to face the difficult truths of a world darkened by astounding challenges of complex political and social justice issues? Are we brave enough to face everything from personal transgressions, however small or large, to mass shootings and other acts of violence and hatred, and to do something about it? Are we courageous enough to act as Christ's disciples and seek justice and peace in our own lives and in the lives of those who live in darkness throughout our community? Perhaps more importantly, or most importantly, can we stand firm in the light? Or once we see the light, do we scuttle off, creeping back into the comfortable darkness of denial, experiencing the salvific power of the light and seeing clearly that we have fallen away from God? Do we look upwards on high, asking forgiveness and seeking ways to keep the light shining as a guide, as an advocate, as our Savior, however painful the ensuing steps might be? Our message today is that God is indeed the God who loved the world so much that he gave his son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. But that same God is also a God who places on our shoulders the expectation of actively seeking the light. His salvific gift, his Son, Jesus, following that light, not the darkness of a deeply troubled world, but the way of the cross, a way strewn with love, encompassed by grace, and based on faith. The face of God in today's readings is a God who is ever present, ever ready to forgive. But it is also the face of a God to whom a turn must be made. A God of demand, always ready to be a God of grace. Grace and demand, the way all serious relationships work, really. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen.